You have your Bibles tonight. Turn with me, please, to the book of Revelation. Starting with the 12th verse, going down through the 16th verse. Revelation 16 and 12, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. I want to use for a subject tonight the battle of Armageddon. The greatest, most momentous, earth-shaking, earth-changing epoch in the annals of human history, the Battle of Armageddon. Some time ago, I had the occasion to be in the tiny nation of Israel. And I visited the ruins of the city of Megiddo. One great leader of a bygone age said that Megiddo was worth 1,000 cities. I walked through the ruins of the once beautiful structures that had been built by Solomon, David's son, that took Israel to its zenith of power and glory before the kingdom was split and decimated because of sin. I looked at that which had represented the hopes, the dreams, the fantasies of so many civilizations. It now lay in ruins. With our television cameras, we walked to the edge of the mound of dirt they call the Tell of Megiddo. As far as the eye could see toward the west, there is the valley of Megiddo. Jehoshaphat, Esdraelon, Armageddon. Well, Armageddon is a place. The Jewish people are raising crops now in that valley 12 months out of the year. We had lunch at a kibbutz overlooking beautiful body of water there in that valley. And as I stood there looking at that vast expanse that leads, goes all the way from the Mediterranean Sea, touches the Jordan Valley, goes down to the city of Jericho, the Dead Sea, passes Jerusalem. I looked at it, realizing that in the very skies above my head, one day soon Jesus Christ would appear and come back, flanked by the armies of heaven and the saints of the living God. I looked at this beautiful valley spread out, breathtaking in appearance. I closed my eyes as the television camera slowly spanned its expanse. knowing that in not too very long, that valley will be crowded with multiple millions of soldiers. Before I get to that event tonight that the Bible so glaringly describes, I feel that we must lead up to the order of events that are transpiring and starting to be fulfilled at breathtaking pace. General Douglas MacArthur, one of the greatest military tacticians that ever lived, said shortly before he died, the next great event, he said, will be Armageddon. Theoretically, he was wrong. Prophetically, in the broad expanse, he was right. He was speaking from his vast knowledge of the doomsday weapons that had been perfected by the United States, Russia, and now Great Britain, France, Italy, Canada, and other nations of the world that have joined the nuclear club. And this wise man, not only in military tactics, but in world affairs, spoke that name very knowingly, a name, Armageddon, that is becoming very predominant in news reports, politicians' speeches, newscasters' descriptions. It has come to denote utter, total catastrophe, Armageddon. Mr. MacArthur was right. We're heading fastly toward it. It will come to pass. There is no way it can be avoided. No summit of nations will avoid it, because this book says that it shall happen. Now, the events that will lead up to Armageddon are going to be so striking that they will be undeniable. They're recorded in your Bible. The first one is the rapture of the Church of the Living God. The rapture could take place at any moment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, Paul wrote, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." The rapture will be the most striking, cataclysmic event that the world has ever known in all of its history. Multiple millions of people will disappear instantly, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Corruption will put on incorruption. Mortality will put on immortality. O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? When Jesus Christ takes his people away, this will not be the second coming. The second coming and the rapture have absolutely no relationship to each other. They are approximately 7 years apart. Now, I realize we have much teaching today that is contrary to what I'm saying. Some are teaching that the rapture cannot take place now. The Antichrist must make his advent first of all. And the church must go through part of, if not all, of the Great Tribulation period. I do not believe it. I believe the trump of Almighty God could sound at any time. Some are advocating that we buy stocks of dried food, store it in caves, upon the coming of the great and terrible days that are about to break upon this earth. I'm not looking for a cave, I'm looking for the Christ. That's the one I'm waiting for. I'm not getting ready to go into any great tribulation. I'm getting ready for the trump of Almighty God.
because I believe that's what his word says. And when the rapture takes place, it will be cataclysmic. It will get the attention of planet Earth as nothing else would ever get its attention. If you wanted to get someone's attention, what better way than to suddenly cause millions of people to instantly disappear? The great news networks, television stations will go 24 hours a day as the networks refuse to leave the air. Newscasters that are not saved nor ready to go will man their microphones in front of the cameras to try to explain the sudden disappearance of millions of people. It's going to be a tremendous time. They're going to say the strange thing about it is that they have disappeared from all over the earth, from every single nation, and the ones that have disappeared are, oddly enough, those strange individuals that believed in the Bible, that believed in Jesus Christ, that believed in the Word of God. They are the ones that are gone. Now, some would say, do you really believe that? Yes, I do. I believe it could happen tonight. If it doesn't happen tonight, it'll happen tomorrow. If it doesn't happen tomorrow, it'll happen next week. But Jesus is coming. There is a hell that's about to break loose upon this planet. A hell of unprecedented proportions. Jesus called it Great Tribulation. Tribulation like the world has never seen before and will never, never see again. A tribulation that will be mind-boggling in concept. A tribulation that will be staggering in its power of destruction. That tribulation will not start until God's children are taken out of this world. But it's coming. It is coming. The nations of the world are gearing for it and are gearing toward it. After the rapture of the church, which could take place at any time, and strangely enough, this telecast will be aired several months after I preach it. And some of you that watch me, I may be gone, and most of the people here may be gone by the time you see it. Now, I realize that this sounds like fantasy to the majority of the world. I realize that the smart individuals would listen to this with a snicker. I realize they would pass it off as another religious ludicrosity. But I know it's going to happen because everything else in this book that God said was going to happen has happened. I know it. It's a proven record. And I'm ready. Thank God I'm ready. I want to say it again, I'm ready. I'm ready for the trump to sound. I want it to sound. I want Jesus to come back. I've got more over there than I've got here. My mother's over there. My grandfathers are over there. My grandmothers are over there. I've got a little baby brother over there. I've got a lot of friends and loved ones there. And above all, Jesus is there. My King and my Prince and my Redeemer. He is there in that land where we'll never see a tear dim die. And he told me, he said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. He said, Peter and James and John, don't you be troubled. Don't worry about the things that's coming upon this world. It's not your home anyway. Don't get upset about inflation. Don't worry about what the Democrats or the Republicans do. Don't get too disturbed about what Russia threatens to do to the world. You just get the gospel out and tell people I'm coming, and tell them that Jesus saves and his blood washes whiter than snow, because I'm building you a mansion in the portals of glory, in a place where there'll be no more separation nor tear-dimmed eyes, and there'll be no worry or anxiety, and every day is going to be Sunday. Hallelujah. You, by television, that didn't understand that last statement, just get a little closer to God and you will. Praise the Lord. You see, I enjoy what I do. I feel sorry for people that go to church one time a week out of duty or obligation. I feel sorry for those people. It must be a grind. They sit there bored to tears, praying they can get out and get home and get the TV on in time to catch a ball game before too many minutes have gone past. Feel sorry for you. You're living a wasted life. Feel sorry for you. I love what I do. It flows in my heart. I wake up sometimes 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and praising the Lord Jesus Christ. Get up at daylight morning after morning and just walk back and forth in my prayer room worshiping Him and praising Him and glorifying Him. He's all I know. He's my dream, my heart, food for my hunger, water for my thirst. And I'm getting ready to go and I'm getting ready to be with Him. When He comes and takes His people away, Baptists are going to leave. And some's going to be left. Methodists are going to go. Some will be left. Assembly of God's going to go. Some will be left. Church of God's going to go. Some will be left. Catholics are going to go. That's going to be hard for some of you Baptists and Pentecostals to swallow. Some of them's going to make it, praise God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. I know some of you don't like me saying about Catholics making it. I get letters every time I preach it. You just can't mean that. You're slipping, you're compromising. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not Catholic. Elephants will roost in trees before I kiss the Pope's big toe. But thank God some Catholics are going. They're going. They're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. And a lot of folk that's independent, whatever in the world that means. They're going to. Hallelujah. And it's going to be a grand time. And when the children of Almighty God are taken out of this world, it's going to be nothing but hell that'll be left. Now you listen to me. I know the world thinks we're strange. I know that. I know they look at us and they think that something's wrong with us. They laugh at us and they think we're missing it because we don't go to the discotheques. We don't go to the Texas honky-tonks. And we don't drink ourselves insensible or snort coke. And I'm not talking about the kind you put in a bottle either. They don't understand us, but when we're gone, Jesus said you're the salt of the earth. Jesus said you're the light of the world. And when the child of God, the body of Christ, is gone, there'll be nothing left here to hold back the tides of darkness. Now don't misunderstand. 24 hours after every child of God's left this world, the greatest revival planet Earth has ever seen is going to take place. An awful lot of backsliders are coming back home. A lot of preachers are going to get saved. A lot of people are going to pray through. But then the world will be plunged into a hideous tribulation period. It will be a time of such earth-shattering events. Nature will be grossly affected. The moon, the Bible said, will turn to blood. I don't elaborate on it. Try to spiritualize it away. It says it'll turn to blood, and that's all I can tell you. I'll just leave it there. It tells us that meteorites of gigantic proportions are going to fall into the oceans, and millions are going to die. It tells us that from the pit, the infernal regions of the damned, that millions of demon locusts are going to come out of the pits of darkness and are going to torment men until men will beg and scream to die. It's going to be the time when angels will fly through the heavens for the first time in history and preach the everlasting gospel of God. Never before has it happened. I have every confidence that the great networks of the world with their cameras pointed heavenward is going to record these tremendous events and multiplicities of millions of homes all over the world is going to flash them on their television sets into the living rooms of people everywhere as they see these angels flying through the heavens preaching the everlasting gospel. I believe that. This will be the advent of the Antichrist, the man of sin, the Syrian, as he is called, God. Satan will be thrust from his position of having occasion to enter the throne of God, cast down to this planet. He will empower the Antichrist with such a diabolical power. The false prophet will be demon-possessed as the Antichrist will be, as they literally cause statues to speak. And the whole world will wonder after the beast. He will be the talk of every politician, of every newsman on the planet. One of the ways that he will be able to gain tremendous accolades is because that tantalizing enigma of the riddle of Israel, he will solve it for a moment. Somehow he will solve the problem with Israel and the Arabs. No diplomat, no Henry Kissinger, no one has been able to do it, but he'll do it. With his diplomatic ways, with his power of persuasion, with the tremendous force, he will make his bid for world domination. The whole world will wonder after him. He will demand an allegiance. Nation after nation will fall in with him. Some will not. And there will be conflicts and battles as he goeth forth. And the very word revelation means apocalypse. And apocalypse means revelation. You've heard of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. During all of this time, war and famine and death and desolation and hell is going to erupt on this planet. It's going to be a time of such misery it will boggle the mind. Now, in the middle of the week, the middle of the great tribulation period, 7 years, the middle of it, 3.5, he will break his covenant with Israel. Some way he will find a way to rebuild the temple. The tiny nation of Israel has wanted to rebuild that temple for hundreds and hundreds of years. They've not had one since Titus destroyed it in 70 AD, nearly 2,000 years ago. If you were to go to Israel tonight, you would see those people standing by the Wailing Wall, the only part that is left of the old structure. They stand and they sob 24 hours a day. He will find some way to appease the Arabs. How he will do it, no one knows. Because the Mosque of Omar, one of the stanchion points of Islam, stands on the site of Solomon's ancient temple. The followers of Mohammed would go to war tonight if anyone were to tamper with that mosque. But somehow he'll find a way to rebuild the temple. The Jews will once again start the sacrifice. They will think he's the Messiah. He will perform such wonders, and it will look like he is going to restore Israel to her place in the sun, a place of glory and brilliance and power and wonder. For you see, in the mind of the Jew, they see themselves, and rightfully so, they see themselves in the place that the darling of Israel took them, David, and that's what they called him, the darling of Israel. Finally, under Solomon, to a zenith of glory, such as the nation had never known. But he will break his covenant with them. It'll be in every newspaper on the face of the earth. He will declare his intention. He will violate the Holy of Holies. He will violate it by offering up swine or some such sacrifice in that Holy of Holies. And then he will send his army to decimate them and to eliminate them and obliterate them off of the face of the earth. I was in Petra a few weeks ago. Some Bible scholars feel that this empty, vacated, ancient, aged city of antiquity is where that the remnant of Israel will flee to as the armies of the Antichrist pursue them, and all of a sudden God will send an earthquake and will stop that army, and he will preserve that remnant. Here's what I want to tell you. Most people don't realize this. The Great Tribulation period will affect the entire earth. Grossly so, horrendously so. But it is going to affect Israel as it affects no other people. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. Now let me say a word about Israel. I love the Jew. Something in my heart that beats out after the Jew. I love them. And as a child of God, you must love them the same way too. Never hold them up to ridicule. Never speak sarcastically of the Jew. The whole world tonight basically is opposed to the Jew. I mean, the whole world, with the exception of the United States of America and possibly Canada. As far as I know, and I may be mistaken, but every other nation on planet Earth hates the Jew. Over 100 million Arabs have sworn their destruction. Nation after nation after nation hates her. America came to the pivot point a few months ago when our oil spigots dried up. And we were scared the Arabs were going to say, unless you squeeze Israel to death, we'll sell you no more oil. What would America's decision be then? It's not a matter of money. It's a matter of the Bible and the morals and the future of this country. Because the future of the United States of America, I believe with all of my heart, rides on her disposition toward the tiny state of Israel. God said, I will bless those that bless her, and I will curse those that curse her. Russia is cursed. Communism is cursed, and the bushy-eyebrowed Brezhnevs can boast of their rockets and boast of their atomic weaponry. But let this preacher tell you this tonight. God said that any nation that curses Israel, I will bring them down, and I will curse their legions, and they shall die. Country is about the only country left in the world that still
owes to Israel.
And I'm worried about our country. When Prime Minister Begin took F-16s and dropped what is commonly referred to as smart bombs, they can hit a bullseye almost 10 yards diameter from 6, 7, 8, 10 miles high. F-16s dropped the smart bombs down the smokestack of an Iraqi nuclear installation because their intelligence said that in 3 years we will have atomic bombs and we will use it against the Zionist. When Mr. Begin had a little boy to wrap his legs, his arms around his legs on the streets of Jerusalem and said, "Please, Mr. Begin, seven-year-old boy, don't let us down." He looked at that child and thought in 3 years' time he could be dead or dying from radiation. He made the decision to knock out that atomic reactor. The United States condemned Israel. We were gutless and spineless. We should have stood up to the world and said, "We're glad she did it." Let me tell you something. That little nation of Israel, 3 million, the whole world hating her, the world owes a debt to the Jew that it'll never hope to repay. Every semblance of law in this world came from the Ten Commandments. Every symbol of decency came from the Judeo-Christian concept. I will admit tonight that Israel has forsaken Jesus Christ. They are blinded. They have suffered an agony that beggars description. Nothing in the world is more sobering than to walk into the memorial to the 6 million Jews that died in World War II, gassed to death in Treblinka and Auschwitz and these terrible ovens in Poland and Germany. And to stand and look at this horrible Holocaust against humanity, against the Jew. But don't write them off. God hasn't. They're coming home. They may not know it, and because I said that, I'll get some letters from Brenith Benaiah angry at me for saying it. But I love you. That's the reason I say it. Write your letters all you want to, but you're coming home to Jesus. Right in the middle of the Great Tribulation period, 144,000 Jews are going to get saved. 12,000 from each tribe. And you get a Jew saved and full of the Holy Ghost serving Jesus and you've got something, man. Praise God. 12,000 of them shouting Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. 144,000 saying He is Lord. It's going to happen. I don't care what the devil has done. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's going to happen because this Bible says it's going to happen. But the squeeze is going to get tighter. It's going to get so tight that the whole world is going to forsake Israel. Even the United States of America. As two witnesses walk the streets of Jerusalem, performing miracle after miracle after miracle, and the vaunted Antichrist with his might and power unable to kill them. Poor little Israel cut to pieces. The Antichrist goes north and east to take care of insurrection. The remnant of Israel comes back into Jerusalem. He has vowed, "I will kill you though. I will destroy you." And then his plans of mobilization aided by demon spirits that will go throughout the entire earth working on the minds of dictators, politicians, generals and admirals and scientific men of war, to gather them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. The nations that will be there, I do not know. But let me give you just a little kaleidoscope of how this will happen. The Antichrist has one thing in mind, empowered by Satan, and that is to completely rule the world and to destroy the name of God. Now, you must understand something. During the Great Tribulation period, due to the tremendous traumatic events that will take place, meteors falling from heaven, coming into the waters and the oceans, millions dying of famine, of war, of starvation, of catastrophe, of plagues, the moon turning to blood, the tides of the oceans affected, blood coming out of water faucets when people turn on faucets, rivers and lakes turning to blood, angels flying through the heavens, demon spirits loose from the pits. The whole world will know there is a God. There won't be any arguments over whether he exists. They will know it because of these events that are happening. Earth-shattering, staggering events. They will know it. They will know that Jesus Christ is God's Son. There won't be any argument. And the Antichrist will determine to annihilate the name of God and his Son Jesus from the face of the earth. And he will not able to reach out at God, not able to reach out at Jesus Christ. He will turn his vented fury on the Jew. He will gather the armies of the world. They will be there from Russia. They will be there from Germany. They will be there from the east. The Bible said the mighty Euphrates River will dry up because of the millions of men from China, from Japan, from the eastern nations that will come across it to that place called Armageddon. How many millions will be? We do not know, but there could be 10 million, 50 million, even 100 million or more that will gather there. For this is the final solution. This is the hatred that burned in Haman's heart and Herod's heart. This is the demon power that built up in Adolf Hitler's spirit. The final solution to kill these people. Murder them. He will make sure this time that Auschwitz and Treblinka and Buchenwald does not fail. He will make certain that there is no escape. Israel will die. This hated symbol of God. These people that are named Godshaw, Abraham, Simon, and Jacob and Isaac, they will die because they're tied to this book. They're tied to heaven. They're tied to eternity. They're tied to everything pertaining to Jesus Christ. Jew. And when he gathers those massive armies there, million upon million upon million upon million, in the valley of Megiddo, somebody asked the question, will armies from the United States of America be there to aid him? I don't know. I don't know. I would pray God not.
No, the Bible doesn't say.
The armies will be so massive, they will literally attempt to completely annihilate Israel, and Jerusalem is the target. Zechariah said, half of it will fall. The women will be ravished. It will not be a sensible plan of attack. It will be scorched earth. Annihilate them once and for all until there are none left. The Jew. Half the city will fall. The Jewish people, the Bible bears it out that no one will help. There will be no giant C-5As lifting from the tarmacs in the United States of America with a range of 8,000 miles to fill their bloated bellies with anti-tank guns and detonating shells and bombs and smart bombs and F-14 and F-15 Eagle and F-16 fighter engines. Nobody. There will be no nation on the face of the earth that will stand with her. She's alone. Yes, her fighter pilots are the best in the world. I've watched those F-4s fly a few feet above the Dead Sea with afterburners on, and the earth would shake.
They're the best on the planet. But they will be overwhelmed by sheer numbers.
Their tank commanders are the finest that ever sat in a turret. Their army generals are the best in the world. They stand on the top of Masada when they graduate Masada. And when the flag is struck, they lift their hands to the heavens on Masada and say, never again.
But it's too many. From the Antichrist. They fight for their wives and their women and their children and their city and their God. But the Antichrist is too powerful, and the nations of the world stagger back and will not come to their aid. The radio signals go out. The transmission scream to Washington, to Bonn, to London, to Ottawa, to Paris, to anywhere in the world, help us, we're dying, there's no hope this time. And there is no hope. And then a wail goes up, a cry that comes from the throated gut of the remnant that's left. The tears streak as the shells burst and the armies of the Antichrist so bloated they stagger millions strong, getting in each other's way to annihilate this rot, the Jew. And before David Ben-Gurion died, he was asked the question, what is the hope of Israel? He turned his white maned head to the interviewer and said, sir, the hope of Israel is the coming of the Messiah. And they will cry to their Messiah. It will be the cry of Abraham, the cry of Isaac, and the cry of Jacob. It will be the haunting psalms of the sweet singer David, the wise proverbs of the Solomons. It will be the cry of 1,000 years, of 2,000 years, of 3,000, of 4,000 years. They will cry, please come, thou voted one, Shiloh, come. We are doomed. Your people are doomed. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
when that cry is made, heaven is going to be hearing it. And he's waiting. As far as the eye can see in the portals of glory, the white steeds are prepared. Glory to God. The angels, led by Gabriel and Michael, are standing at flank attention. Every sainted child of God that's ever lived from the time of Abel until that moment. Glorified bodies is going to be sitting on white horses. And I'm not talking about 50 or 100 or 1,000. I'm talking about millions upon millions upon millions upon millions. Angels as far as the eye can see. I don't mean angels that are standing timid. I mean angels prepared for war. Angels the kind that stood there and slaughtered the armies of the Assyrians. And 185,000 died in one night as a result of one angel. When the cry of those people come up, their commander-in-chief, hallelujah. And you're not looking at the humble Galilean now. You're looking at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. 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 Let me get my composure. He's coming back as a general, as a field marshal, as a warrior prepared for battle. The scripture says he will fight as in the days of old. He's coming back angry. You listening to me, saints? I'm not talking about some little timid, tiny Tim Christ. I'm talking about the champion of the ages. I'm talking about the one that defeated Satan. I'm talking about the one that's defeated death. I'm talking about the one that's defeated the grave. I'm talking about the one that's rolled back the back of sin and broken the tides of hell. I'm talking about the one that's delivered man from the powers of darkness and set the captive free. Shekuribisi. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Fire coming out of his eyes. His head white like wool. His skin the color of polished brass. And his mouth and his voice like the sound of many waters. I speak not of some authoritic, aged general. Talking about Shiloh, the branch, the vine, the foundation, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright in the morning star. I'm talking about my Redeemer that kept Jimmy Swaggart from hell. Save my soul. Glory to God. Forgive me, Presbyterians. Forgive me, Catholics. I've just got to shout. I've just got to praise him. He's worthy of all praise. He's worthy of all glory. He's worthy of all honor. He's worthy of all platitudes. He is Prince of Peace. He is the power personified of glory. Open wide, ye gates of heaven. Open wide, ye eternal doors. The King of Glory is coming forth. And he's going to say, let's go. Glory. My Lord. I don't know where I'm going to be, but I'm going to be on one of those horses. Hallelujah. Jude said, I saw him coming with 10,000s. That word means thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of the saints. Head them up and head them out. Glory. Oh, Lord. I can see it. I can see it. Hallelujah. Those horses won't run out of petrol either. They don't depend on the Arabs. Glory. They're coming back. When the Antichrist is ready to make his big move and to totally annihilate Israel, all of a sudden, CBS, NBC, ABC, French television, Italian television, BBC, London, Canadian television, Brazilian television, cameras covering the advance of the Syrian. We'll say, ladies and gentlemen, wait, something is happening. I can't quite make it out what it is. I can't explain it. I don't know. I can't tell you. It doesn't look like airplanes. But the whole heavens are covered with them. They're coming back. My Lord, what is it? Can anybody explain it? We don't know what it is. We cannot tell you what it is. It doesn't look like it's rocket powered. It doesn't look like it's atomic powered or anything else. But its speed is as the lightning shineth from the east unto the west. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Praise the name of the Lord! Praise the name of the Lord. He shall fight as in the days of old. He shall fight as he fought against the Jebusites and the Hittites and the Hivites. For he shall reign King of kings and Lord of lords. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And his name shall be called Wonderful and Mighty God and Prince of Peace. And he is the everlasting Father. He is the power. He is the glory. And he is the greatness of heaven. He hath overcome.
The Bible says that fire shall come from heaven. Fire that will roll like a million thunderbolts from glory. Tanks and half tracks will splinter and burst into a thousand pieces. Hail will fall like gigantic pieces weighing 100 pounds or more. Millions upon millions of the Antichrist soldiers will be beaten down, and the book of God tells us that the saints will walk in their blood. And that blood will start to flow as millions and millions die instantly. As the very heavens storm against these that have opposed God and his people. The blood will flow for 185 miles, at times 6 feet deep, to the horses' bridles. The battle will last only one day. And the advance of the Antichrist will be stopped instantly. And he will be killed with his false prophet. Experience a resurrection and thrown into the bottomless pit. And Jesus will stand
on the Mount of Olivet.
It will cleave one side to the east, one side to the west. The Jewish people will fall at his feet. And the Bible says they will be saved as in a day. And they will say, where did you receive the wounds in your hands? And he will say, I was wounded in the house of my friends. Oh, God. And his kingdom, with no war, no disease, no poverty, no more crying in the ghettos, no more homeless children. The evil and the wickedness is gone and Satan is chained. Hallelujah.
I stood the other day at Olivet. It was daylight. I was waiting for the sun to come above the eastern horizon. Television cameras were ready. It was one of the most beautiful sights I've ever seen as the sun burst up, cast its rays over the city of the King. And John started to sing. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Would you bow your heads, please?